Good morning, Midtown man. I think I've got the finally sort of got the camera mount sorted out. This sort of well, I had a giant fucking magnet to stick this phone into certain positions on certain things, and it was one of those that was supposed to stick to the back of the phone, you know, like you put a thin steel strip on the back of the phone and you know, the fucking magnet sticks to that, but the magnet is attached to something on your dashboard or something, you know. Well, anyway, I got that magnet out and separated it and put the magnetic mount. I'm having visions. And put the magnetic mount on I ended up cutting out a whole heap of fucking galvanized iron, sort of thinnish sort of sheet metal, and then bonding that with double-sided tape to the back of several phones so I could stick one or the other fucking in position on the dashboard. But the magnet itself was kind of migrated, you know? And so I'm hallucinating cars. I don't know whether that's a bush way ahead in a corner that's got a bit of darkness under it, and it looks like a dark green sort of car or something, or a black car or something, but yeah, it's a bush. There are dark green, blackish sort of cars that do look like the shaded underside of trees from one or two k's away, you know. I've seen them blend, I've seen cars that colour blend into the fucking, you know, the bush. They come round a corner and they're a long way off and they actually look just like the bush. So it's not a sort of, you know, Shane and his vivid imagination again. But yeah, it's a lovely day. You know, and see, this is one of the things that I gotta start raising this in meetings about all these fucking dumb cunts. That's Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and other fucking 12-step fellowships, is that they have a really high churn rate and they have a really high relapse rate, you know? So it doesn't matter, a fuck if you're telling the truth. They're gonna get pissy and moany about fucking anything anyway, and you can't take that out, you go, you know. But if, according to these IQ tests, which are sort of standardized models for sizing most people up fairly fucking accurately, you know, in some ways, you know, if 50% of people are above the average and 50% are below average, you know, and a lot of testing has sort of basically established that most addicts tend to be sort of immature, self-centered, you know, never grown up, never developed as a person, you know, never sort of studied and fucking all this other sort of shit, you know what I mean? They're just there's a lot of neurotics, you know. Me, couldn't possibly, it's all them. Yeah, it causes me, fuck. Anyway, there's a truck about 2 km away to a closing. It's doing 100 k's an hour, I'm doing 100 k's an hour. So it'll be here very shortly. You'll see it go past. Anyway, so what you have is the average population, you know, the average people, all averaged out, you know what I mean, but 50% of the people are above average in intelligence according to these tests, and 50% of the population are below average, you know. And that can range from being extraordinarily clever to people who, you know, when you show them how to tie up their shoelaces, they'll never understand, you know. They can't remember it, and they don't know how to do it, and if you show them how to do it, they can't remember it, and, you know, you just sort of spoon feed them, you know. You spoon feed them with food that's already cut up into little bits, you know. Something huge is coming. The pilot vehicle it's a wheat silo. Portable wheat bin. Ever just slow down and go two wheels off the road. And such a big vehicle. Doesn't hurt to have a few manners to accommodate other people, make a bit of room for them, you know. And so you got all these fucking all these people in AA, and there's a whole spectrum of personality disorders and psychological problems, and you know, genetics and, you know, the expression of certain genes, and that makes them particularly fucking prone to bloody addiction, you know. All sorts of things. Then you got really crazy families, you know. So this is what happens. Anyway, so 50% of the population are above, you know, average IQ, and 50% are below average IQ. But what happens is you get a whole spectrum of personality disorders and crazy people from crazy families, all that shit. There's one dead Roo. And, what happens is you get varying degrees of brain damage and impairment from doing drugs, you know, alcohol and all the other drugs, and including tobacco. Tobacco kills brain cells by making the blood cells sticky, so that when they have to go through all the little capillaries in the fucking brain, they sort of bind and block and stuff and don't go through. So you don't get like a clear fucking, half the brain is dead because of a stroke. You know what I mean? You get millions of little, tiny fucking strokes. And so you get brain damage like that from smoking, you know, and I'm not sure of the mechanism for alcohol, but I think it's just poison and it sort of dries out the brain cells. I haven't looked up the latest sort of stuff on it, you know. It's kind of important to know, but, you know, if you're not drinking, you know, and the important thing is to sort of maintain frame and maintain focus on improving yourself rather than, you know, staying grounded and staying sane rather than focusing on, my God, you know. And alcohol, you know, once upon a time, it wasn't bad if you had a really nice, really good quality booze. It was good to drink too, you know. But overall, just, you know, I ran into some fucking, accidentally, we had huge floods. And, you know, the flooding ran through the sewage farm and all this sort of shit and washed it all downstream and, you know. And so, you know, there's no power, no fucking nothing. So I had a supply of, if you add about 25% methylated spirits to kerosene, it makes for, you can run a much bigger, brighter flame with almost no, basically no smoke. If it was just a if it was just a straight kerosene flame, you get above, say, you know, say that high, and it starts smoking. But with an alcohol blend in the fuel, alcohol blend, you can have a slight, say, a 30% bigger flame, which is brighter, but it doesn't smoke, you know what I mean, which is important if you've only got a kerosene lamp to light up particular, you know, like that's all you've got to live by, you know. And what happened was, so to economize on the alcohol consumption, that by that I mean by the industrial sort of hygienic use of alcohol, you know, I'd mixed half water, I'll say 60% alcohol and 40% water, or about half and half, sort of, you know what I mean, so I could wash my hands with soap and then just do a quick rinse as a DIY hygienic wash, you know, and an alcohol hand cleanser, you know, disinfectant, you know. And what happened was, and I also had one, there were three, you know, water bottles, you know, you buy from the supermarket with bottles from water, because that was the only way you could get clean water, was bottled water. So I had one bottle, say two-thirds full of straight denatured alcohol or methylated spirits, you know. I had one bottle with half alcohol and half water, which was the hand wash, and I had the next bottle, which was the water itself, which was drinking water. And yeah. So, but I didn't mark them. I just had them in a row, and then I'd forgotten which row, which bottle was what, you know. And so I picked up the bottle of metho, I stuck my nose in that, and I went, oh fuck, that's straight denatured alcohol. But the next bottle, which was about half full, about don't know, 700 mil, 800 mil or something, of half water, half betho, and I stuck my nose in that because I'd had a little puff of straight alcohol fume up inside the nasal cavity, you know. I couldn't smell the 50-50 mixture, you know. I just temporarily just, I didn't go, you know, I just went, yeah, fuck, you know. So there's just a faint puff of, you know, straight alcohol fume, you know. Diluted, but high strength alcohol fume. And when I stuck my nose in that second bottle, I went, yeah, I can't smell any metho in there. And then I went chug, 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 you know. And I drank about 450 mil, about that maybe, of about 60-40 methylated spirits and water. So that's a fairly hefty fucking dose of alcohol, you know. Oh. And, yeah, so what I found is that strength alcohol, and being what it was, I couldn't vomit it up. I tried. I knew I wasn't going to die from it. And there was nothing else to do except ride the alcohol stone out, you know. And what happened was that it just made me feel a bit dizzy, and it made me feel a bit nauseous and a bit more irritable than usual, you know. So that's the only time I've sort of blundered into alcohol in the last 36 years. So I didn't enjoy the effect. You know, it's a shitty drug, you know what I mean? But I forget how I got on with this. But yeah. So alcohol's a shit drug. Here we have to share the road. On one side of the fucking half the roads. Still, I don't know how it happened, but the roads were fairly stable, you know, for a long time, and then there was a whole heap of fucking rain. And it's according to my decades of experience with driving, it shouldn't have damaged the fucking roads fuck all, but it did, and there was an enormous amount of potholes opening up all over the countryside, you know. And yeah. And yeah, so anyway, with the whole sort of thing, you're getting a whole heap of fucking crazies. A lot of them come from really crazy families and crazy societies and just fucking personality disorders, and a lot of people do a really fuck that. So, you know, you got the average IQ, you know, so if you've got the average IQ and then throwing a whole heap of personality disorders and brain damage and shit. The average fucking sanity level of, I guess, sanity and intellectual capacity of the average person in Alcoholics Anonymous, and especially if they did a lot of if they did a lot of drugs, you know, and mainly sort of kind of end up in Narcotics Anonymous, their capacity to kind of make the sort of bottom end of the personality of the fucking IQ tests is really compromised. And there's a lot of people in AA who are, where they're just rapacious junkies and they're just drug fucked. And yeah. So, and plus you get women who have, a lot of them do have really limited abilities to comprehend much in the first place. Then you add on impairments like being addicted, you know, like either on prescription medications, they're just off their face on that shit, you know. So what happens is you know, women are basically retarded and they're not real fucking bright or creative in the first place, you know, that sort of thing of like, you know, if you're the boyfriend and you're taking them along to all these really great places and things to see and things to do and, you know, what an amazing world it is, you know, and all this sort of shit, and then when you part company, none of them will show the initiative or put in the effort to go do any of these things by themselves, you know. You know, that's, as Hammerhand pointed out, you know. If they didn't have a functional cunt and were up for breeding, most women are not much fucking not... There's no real benefit of having anything to do with them, you know? So, one of the stories was me, myself, Branko and Roddy, you know, all a bit on the fat side, chubs, you know, going along to the Overeaters Anonymous meetings. And we turned up to an old favourite for, you know, a while there. And these fat psycho fucking bitches. You know, I think Roddy said something about, you know, binging on chocolate or something, you know. And then these fucking women, this is how fucking stupid a lot of women are, you know. Well, this is how stupid a lot of women are, is that these fucking half dozen fat bitches had held a group conscience and they started dictating, oh, well, we've had a group conscience and, we, you know, we don't think you should be fucking saying, you know, chocolate, you know, in the meetings anymore because it might trigger someone into having a fucking relapse. And, what, you know, we want you to use the word the words brown carbohydrate substance instead, you know. And it took me about all of 2 seconds to size this up as being complete fucking bullshit, you know. Because you go to almost any fucking shop, any petrol station, any fucking thing, anywhere in Australia, and there's chocolates for sale. And there's signs in the shops and on the insides and on the outsides and, you know, on the TV and fucking magazines and newspapers and, you know, the weekly catalogues by the supermarkets, you know. Chocolates are being fucking advertised everywhere, you know. And if you can't fucking, if you're a fat fucking bitch who can't deal with the fact that, you know, someone says the word chocolate, you know, oh, I've been binging on chocolates again, you know, and I've got real fat, you know, and all this sort of shit. If you can't deal with that in a fucking Overeaters Anonymous meeting, how are you going to cope in the big wide world, you know? For fuck's sake, you know? So it was about 3 months later that that meeting closed. Those fat psycho fucking bitches fucked them and their idiotic bullshit, you know what I mean? Because they got a really shit job on, you know, working their way through their own issues and also understanding what sort of, there's no sort of rules for membership. Well, the only requirement for membership is to have a particular problem or something and being willing to do something about it, you know. And so, yeah. So, what happened was, you know, the origins of AA are that the people who wrote the Alcoholics Anonymous book, 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, on page 116, they said, look, we of Alcoholics Anonymous didn't really invent anything. Everything we've got, we basically borrowed from religion and medicine. And then we've had to add on to it a little bit more, you know, to make the sort of fellowships work. You know, that was the 12 traditions, which basically one of the things they did was, you know, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. And that comes from, what's the words? And that comes from, you know, well, that's a nice big truck. And that comes from the desire to stop drinking. Yeah, and that comes from because there's all these people squabbling all over the place in AA, and there's all these fucking assholes having all their rules for membership, you know, at their meetings and stuff, you know, money and prestige and authority and all this sort of shit. And so when they wrote to all the groups and said, look, could you send us in your rules for membership? And they said, all the groups that they, you know, like most of them sort of did. And what they figured out was that there's so many rules and regulations to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous that they said if these rules had been enforced at any one fucking time, nobody could have joined Alcoholics Anonymous. And the other parts of all this sort of stuff that they alluded to was that, you know, basically, you know, your ability to stay sober and participate in life depends upon what you're prepared to do about yourself. So, you know, if you continue to be a fucking mongrel in the meetings like you were on the streets, you're going to die, you'll die using. They said that, you know. And, you know, so then there was these, like an extension of these mad fat bitches in an Overeaters Anonymous meeting. What came out of that is I ran into some fucking mad fat fucking bitches in an Al-Anon, in an ACOA meeting, and they were very insistent that people aren't supposed to get too explicit or too graphic in their descriptions, because, you know, it might upset other people. Well, fuck, people are getting murdered in their own fucking families, you know, for fuck's sake, you know. You know, people are getting beaten and raped and fucking all sorts of shit, you know, at home, you know. Getting robbed, fuck everything, you know what I mean? And so it's up to people to share what they think is valuable to them, you know, what is important to them, and not be, you know, couching their own fucking stories in terms of keeping other people happy, like, too fucking bad, you know what I mean? You know, so-and-so got murdered, you know, when I was at home, I saw my mother stabbing my father and fucking she killed him, you know, the fucking bitch, you know what I mean? Oh, my God, the sensitivity, oh, my God, I can't cope with that. Oh, you can't say that. Well, it's got nothing to fucking do with you, so you shouldn't be affected by it, you know? So anyway, I raised this with these fucking fat bitches in this ACIA meeting, you know, about all their rules and regulations and shit, and they didn't like it, and they ended up throwing me out of the meeting. And I copied down everything that I'd copied and pasted, and all the comments that I'd made, you know, saying this fucking bullshit about this people, the fat bitches in this meeting, you know, bloody making up all these rules and regulations about what people can or can't share about, you know, this is the same shit that these fat bitches in the OA Overeaters and Anonymous meeting were saying, you know. And, But that was good, you know what I mean? And, late last night, you know, I stopped in at this place to get some fucking food to eat, and they close at 9, and it was just like, you know, 5 minutes past 8 o'clock or something, you know, in the evening. And I walk in and there's no hot food ready to go, nothing. It's all been cleaned and packed and cleaned and dried and put away and all this sort of stuff, so everything's all spotless, you know. And I said, "Do you have any hot food at all?" And this woman goes, "No." And I said, "Well, can you throw a pie, a meat pie, or something, or you know, fucking hot dog or something, you know, hot, and that mean food like hot dog, pizza, fucking anything, you know what I mean? Could you throw some food in the bloody microwave for me and do that, you know what I mean?" And she goes, "Oh no, we stop, you know. We stopped serving food at 8 o'clock. And I sort of looked at her and I kind of thought, did I really hear that right? You know, you're a service station in the middle of nowhere, and it's more important to you to follow the rules and watch the clock rather than just walk into the fucking, you know, reach into the bloody fridge or freezer and pull out a fucking one or two pies or a fucking hot dog or something and toss them in the microwave for a couple of minutes, you know. It's more important for you to do that than it is to fucking just toss some shit into the microwave." And I just thought, you know, I'm not going to get vehemently sort of vindictive forever about this, but I thought, well, you know, maybe she's just following the rules. But I thought, you know, you're a fucking roadside place that serves food and fuel, and you got an out, you know, like a fucking, you know, just popping a fucking pie in a paper bag and throwing it in the bloody microwave for a minute or two. Fair dinkum, you can't even do that. You know, you a corporate bloody cocksucker being an obedient fucking shit. I mean, fair dinkum, you know. You know, I know. You know. But that's how they... and I thought, you know... You know, I'm not going to turn this into World War III, but I thought, yeah, you can have your fucking... You know, your clock-watching bloody bullshit, you know what I mean? But, you know... And I thought, I'll get revenge and just, you know, buying elsewhere. You know, I'll get revenge on having more food. It was just unusual sort of circumstances that I kind of ran very low on meat and stuff, you know. So, yeah, that's my bitch trip. But you know what I mean? The fucking woman doesn't get it. That, you know, there's sort of these idiot women that think it's more important to watch the clock. Yeah, that was the other thing, is in some of these fucking meetings, some of these fucking online meetings, the meetings, you know, they said, oh, we'll run it for an hour, and to get plenty of people time to share, we'll give them, say, 3 minutes each or something. So there's like 10 minutes of readings, you know. And then only 5 people turn up. So if everybody, you know, we need a fucking timekeeper, you know, fucking a spiritual timekeeper, you know. And everybody gets 3 minutes each, and I'm thinking, this gets back into that brain damage / low IQ kind of shit, you know. That if everybody gets 3 minutes each, well, 5 times 3 is 15 minutes, then that meeting, you got 10 minutes of readings and then 15 minutes of fucking sharing amongst 5 people. Well, that's 25 minutes. That means you got like 35 minutes of unused fucking time that could have been fucking used, but because this dumb cunt they just lack the fucking capacity to think, you know what I mean? That, you know, 10 times, if everybody there had been, if the 5 people had been given, say, 10 minutes each, that would have filled up the whole fucking hour. That's 50 minutes plus 50 minutes of sharing plus, you know, 10 minutes of readings, you know what I mean? And that gives you your full meeting for the full hour, you know? But they don't think like that. They just go, oh, it's everybody gets to share for 3 minutes. Well, why can't you just make it fucking 10 minutes? There's only 5 of us here, you know? But that's what I mean, low IQ people in meetings. Fucking idiots inventing all this bullshit, because that thing about those fat bitches in the Overeaters Anonymous meeting and the fat bitches in the, you know, Adult Children of Alcoholics meeting, you know what I mean? They're piss poor, doing a piss poor job of their own recovery, and that's also a piss poor job of how they fucking do their service work, you know? They are stupid fucking people who are lazy and opinionated and trying to run the roost, and it's just like they were fucking 80 years ago when Alcoholics Anonymous started up. The dickheads, people haven't changed, just the fucking calendar's advanced 80 years, you know what I mean? So you've got to watch out for these just fucking moron people in recovery, you know? That's a really important thing. I've got to get going now. Bye. Good morning, man. The reason why my chin is like that is because this seat, I'm tall, and the seat sort of has to sort of lay back a bit to fit me in the car, and so then that gets the double chin fucking effect, you know. It's not that I could do with losing some weight. I really hadn't noticed. But, yeah. Well, I had the meat pie for breakfast. And this is what I'm sort of saying about McDonald's, this is called Greek salad, and it's feta cheese, zucchini, all this. Tomatoes. Little bit of onions. And this shit. I mean, it's a little bit pricey in a sense, you know. But it's about $21 a kilo. And that there, mostly sort of full, is half a kilo. And so half a kilo of this costs like $11. And McDonald's big crap is about $16 or $17, and there's nothing nutritional in it. I don't know, 10 grams of heavily preserved lettuce that never goes off. So, you know, honest to God, there really is some really good takeaway, you know, Lebanese, Turkish, cucumber, you know, the fucking, you know. Like what Emma cooks, you know what I mean? The bloody souvlakis and stuff, doner kebabs. You know? I like my own best in the world. We like cooking. But that's what you get. So that full for about $11, if you're traveling, don't eat it. Fuck McDonald's, don't eat at McDonald's. Get some real food, you know. Fuck, this is good. I haven't had any meat. I had some meat about 5 days ago, but it was sort of picking the sinewy sort of stuff off the bones. You know, the bit of the spine between the split of the spine between the ribs and the hips. So there's fuck all meat on it. But geez, it goes nice in making soup. with a big cast iron pot, enameled pot. Put it in that and put it on a low simmer. I mean, I don't mean sort of putrefyingly low simmer, but say just a shave off, starting to pop up a little bubble, tiny little bubble here or there from boiling, you know. So if you kept the lid on it, it'd take like 2 weeks to boil dry kind of temperature. If the pot's got a good seal between the lid and the pot. But a day or so on a hot simmer, put it on the pot, say 10 or 11 at night, leave it just heat overnight, and come back, say 10 in the morning, or 8 in the morning. Put a whole heap of fucking onions and stuff in it. Depends on how you like your vegetables, you know. But you can have fucking... Man, that makes for a good, you know, soup. Well, I went to bed about 3 in the morning. Woke up at about 5. Thank you, cats, fighting. They weren't fighting, but there's just some, like, not savage fighting. You know. But I just said, well, the last time two of them had a fight, it wasn't a savage fight, you know, not, but one bit the other on the face, and then the face got infected, and that was $208 at the vet's to get the pus sucked out. And, so I said, fuck that. You know. So the cats are getting fucking limits on them, you know. Like they can sort of fight and play and sort of ambush each other and all that sort of having the good stuff that cats do. But no more fucking full on, you know, no more full on kind of fights. So, you know, just kick these. Fuck, that was good. Fuck, that was good. And yeah. Oh man, fuck that. I'll turn this on. Oh. Yeah, so thanks to a couple of fucking cats fighting at fucking 5 o'clock in the morning. All right, you bloody stop it. And they didn't. It wasn't real savage, but it was getting a bit rough, you know. It's like sort of kids. It's like, you know, when you got kids, you know, I've noticed that mothers and fathers, they know when the kids are fighting and screaming and yelling that, and they know there's a difference between when a kid just gets a slap in the head versus a kid that goes down the stairs, you know what I mean? They scream differently. Yeah. And this is probably the worst known meat on the planet, the Devon. But it never goes off. The flies in Australia won't land on it. I'm not saying I endorse this, but see that? A Devon. A Devon sandwich. Pastrami or whatever, fuck, I don't know. Stop. Now this is a nice place to sit. What I'm going to do, God, I'm fucking horny too. A lot of times I climb into bed and I think I'll have a good wank, but I'm as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm fast asleep. Porn, for the most part, Porn, for the most part, is just fucking boring. And I don't have any sort of really rigid preference, but I do like the tall, sort of slender, not skinny, but the tall, well-shaped, tall, slender, well-shaped Asian kind of women. Black hair, nice sort of hips, sort of upside down half moon eyes, you know, and sort of smiley and friendly and a round face and a round head. And there's only, fuck. I've had fuck all to eat for the last few days. Just, you know, one or two kilos of frozen green beans. The supermarket where I do go sometimes, they've stopped selling stuff by the container. You know, they advertise it as, like, say, $21 a kilo for Greek salad or whatever. And, you know, I just went in and said, oh, could I have half a kilo? And I said, don't worry about making it too exact. If it's a bit more or a bit less, I'm okay with that, you know. So they just, instead of picking up the container and scooping it in as much as they could, they just sort of picked up the container and sort of measured it in, and they'll get the hang of it. They'll start selling it by fucking weight. You know, they got some fucking hummus. I mean, good hummus. It's pricey though. It's nice. What a great spot to park. Hey, look at how green that grass is. You notice shit like that. For two reasons, mostly. My first is that it's really much really nice green looking grass. And the second reason is that's because it gets watered. And what makes that so different is because everywhere else around here for hundreds of fucking K's right across the entire country, it's fucking bone dry. You know? Everything's dead. So yeah, thanks to the fucking my going to bed late and the cats getting up early and fighting. You know, oi, stop that! Bloody well fucking knock it off! You know, and two or three goes of that and they're still at it. I just got up and fucking I gave one, the really big one, I gave him a good slap, you know. Not hard enough to fucking hurt him, just a good fucking slap so he knows what I'm yelling at him and he shouldn't be fighting. Because the last time he bit the other fucking cat, good hard and proper. Because we turned in $8 at the vets and about $30 in fuel, you know, $30-$35 in fuel doing the round trip, you know, doing the 100 Ks or whatever round trip. So having good fire, it's part of that job of being a dad, you know what I mean? It's all right to be a cat, it's all right to have moderately good fights, you know? Cats are like that. They like the fucking rough and tumble and practice and stuff, you know? So that's good. You know, bit of rough and tumble's good. They love each other, they like each other, they sleep with each other and they take care of each other and they all pay attention to each other. You know, they're one big sort of loving family, you know, that's what we are. But, you know, it's like kids fighting. One slapping the other one in the head, it's not a big fucking deal. A good hard fucking slap, but one pushing the other one down the stairs, you know, and breaking a fucking arm and a leg or a neck or some shit, no, not on too fucking rough, you know. Same thing with the catch. Hardy knows, you know, part of the catch is they get, when they love you, they lick you, and they'll bite you, you know, like as in, put your finger in their mouth, they'll put your finger in their mouth, and just sort of chew on your finger, or lick your finger or something, you know what I mean, they'll do that, but Hardy has a lot of strength, and sometimes, you know, he'll get my finger into his mouth, and he'll start chewing on it, and sometimes he's just doing it gentle-like, and it's a term of endearment and loving and caring and stuff, but sometimes he really likes to get his teeth into it, and he gets his sort of, he's being, partly, I guess, he doesn't sort of realise his own strength and how hard he's doing it, and sometimes he's really in love with me, and sometimes he's just brain switches to chewing on my finger like he's chewing on a big fucking chunk of meat, you know what I mean? And, you know, that is sort of getting up there towards, you know, chewing the end of your finger off, you know? It's that kind of stuff. So when he bites, when him and the other cats are fighting, you know, and he's getting, they're getting real rough and the fight's getting serious. He's got plenty of power in his jaws to cause the other cats damage. So that's where the fatherly sort of limitations on, you know, you can play and you can play a bit on the rough side, but where the cats are walking away with big chunks of fur out of them and big deep bites on each other and stuff. You know, it's not like little tufts of fur or something. That's where, you know, I think Jack tore a strip out of fucking RD's back. And that was a strip of fur and skin, and I think it would have been about 3/4 inch wide by about an inch and a bit long. You know, it was just sort of, it wasn't bare flesh, but, you know, it was just like they'd torn a huge chunk out of his side. So I've got to be the dad, and I've got to temper the savagery. All right, well, I'm going to get going because I need to sleep. Bye.